Thank you very much for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to talk here at the St. Anthony's College. Actually, it's the first time I've been to Oxford. I'm still quite impressed when walking through the streets to see these splendid buildings and all that. Bonn, as well as university town, I think there's a relationship between Bonn and Oxford, but it's a complete different town, of course. Well, as you said, this is a topic is completely different from what we heard from Mary Brinton. It's not about fertility, at least not about age-standardized fertility, but it's about regional differences in aging and population decline in Japan. Well, publications covering aspects of recent demographic change in Japan have become quite numerous, as you know, but only occasionally do they take into account that there are distinct regional differences. And this, in my opinion, is regrettable, not only because I'm a geographer, but I think including the regional dimension can give us, on the one hand, a fuller understanding of the set of problems triggered by demographic change in a given country, and at the same time can also help to get deeper insights into the interrelationship between demographic and other social factors. And I think this series is about social factors and demography. And what I mean is that, of course, the causes of regional variations in demographics are often essentially different from those that bring about international variations or national time trends. And likewise, the determinants of demographic change on the interregional level do not necessarily conform to factors responsible for variations on the neighborhood level, for instance. My analysis will therefore relate to three spatial levels. First, the interprefectural level, characterized by a sharp rural-urban contrast, and that means that aging and population decline is much more prevalent in rural areas. Second, the level of municipalities inside the Tokyo metropolitan area, where aging and population decline, as I will show, is concentrated at the fringes of the commuter belt and in industrial towns. And third, the level of neighborhoods in inner Tokyo, where we can see high rates of elderly residents in social housing estates. Among the diversity of causes that led to these spatial disparities, I will particularly focus on the role of politics. In this context, special consideration will be given in the concluding theoretical discussion on the framework of entrepreneurial urban politics at the end of this paper. It is my argument that the geography of aging and shrinking is hardly an expression of regionally different attitudes or lifestyles of people, which are indeed important factors when it comes to explaining age-standardized fertility or mortality levels. Nor is it some sort of primordial cause of all other spatial socio-economic disparities. Instead, I will demonstrate, or I like to demonstrate, that regional differences in demographic aging and decline are rather the final outcome of socioeconomic conditions in the regions, which in turn are not completely, but largely shaped by national laws and political strategies. So this is the first part now. Well, to begin with, it has to be admitted that, of course, with regard to Japan, regional demographic contrasts as such are far from what media people would call a scoop. I think it's extremely well known. I think it's included in every textbook on Japanese society. that the distribution of people across the Japanese territory is highly uneven. According to the latest available census figures of 2010, total population density amounted to 343 persons per square kilometer. And this is comparable with the density figures of Belgium or the Netherlands. But much higher densities can be found in the about 1,000 kilometer stretch connecting the capital region with the old industrial area of North Kyushu. I hope you are familiar mostly with the location of the major cities in Japan. And well, what is more, in 2010, 47% of all inhabitants of Japan, that was about 60 million people, lived on 8.8% of the territory. That is the area occupied by the three large metropolitan regions of Tokyo, Nagoya, and Osaka. And the northernmost part of Japan, as well as some prefectures of the southwest, by contrast, are only sparsely settled. Well, it is important to note here that this spatial concentration of people in Japan is much higher than it would be if natural limitations such as steep slopes or the like were the only factor. And a major reason for this fact can obviously be found in the highly centralist character of the Japanese state, leading to a hypergrowth of the capital region in particular. But urban overcrowding contrasts with rural depopulation. In 2010, 8.1% of the total population, that was roughly 10 million people, lived on 57.2% of the Japanese territory that was officially acknowledged as depopulated or underpopulated, resulting in a population density figure there of 47 per square kilometer. These areas, in Japanese called kasochiiki or kasochi, which are mostly, as you can see, mostly situated in mountainous regions or on remote islands, are recognized in a special law aiming at their revitalization. However, this law was quite very ineffective during the past and will be so, I think, even in the future. Persistently high net population losses, aging rates much above the national average, and high negative balances of municipal revenues to expenditures are the main characteristics of these areas. And what you can see here as well is abandoned farmsteads now at the verge of collapsing, or even so abandoned agricultural area. And I think even those sugi forests here are no longer in use and start to grow wildly. The evolution of this unbalanced population pattern is closely connected to the process of industrialization. And with the onset of high-speed economic growth in the 1950s, population increases in the Tokyo, Nagoya, and Osaka areas led to the formation of vast urban agglomerations incorporating surrounding prefectures that became suburban hinterlands. And of course, as you can see here, the dark red colors show increase rates between 1915 and 2010 of more than 100%. Most rural parts of the Tohoku and Chugoku regions of Shikoku and Kyushu, by contrast, had fewer inhabitants in 2010 than in 1950s. And these are the blue prefectures who lost population in absolute figures. Well, since in the Japanese case, the volume of international migration flows has been extremely low until until now or so. Regional population change can be interpreted as the almost exclusive result of internal migration flows on the one hand and the balance of births and deaths on the other. Internal migration in particular had a major impact in bringing about the current regional pattern of population distribution. And what you can see here is our two maps. The one is showing internal migration between 1960 and 1965, actually the heyday of the post-war economic growth. And the other is the most recent period from 25 to 2010. And you can see at the first map that actually only the three major metropolitan regions and surrounding prefectures gained from migration, while nearly all rural prefectures lost. And the volume of migration was extremely high, ranging from a 20% population increase for migration alone in this five-year period in Kanagawa Prefecture, which is including the city of Yokohama, to a loss of 12% in Nagasaki Prefecture. Well, actually, in Nagasaki Prefecture at that time, there were many problems because of many coal mines were closed down and related structural problems happened at that time. And these post-war trends in internal migration were influenced by two main factors, or could be decomposed in two main factors. The first was the demographic or cohort size factor, which means that large birth cohorts naturally produce a larger migration potential when they become adults and enter the labor market. And in Japan, a large excess of births from around 1925 to 1950 produced overpopulation in the underdeveloped rural areas. And the second was the economic factor, regulating migration via changes in the supply of urban jobs. And during the period of high-speed economic growth, both factors produced a strong effect on migration. While population pressure was high in the countryside, the urban economy flourished so that large rural-urban migration flows were the natural outcome. In the early 1970s, by contrast, both factors lost their momentum, which meant the start of a secular decline in the volume of internal migration. Nonetheless, the second map there reveals that during the period from 25 to 2010, most metropolitan prefectures still recorded some small migration surpluses, while all other prefectures invariably lost people. And the interesting thing about internal migration is that it's highly age selective. And that means that internal migration had an impact also on the level of the natural increase rates. In Japan, too, migration was dominated by young adults who left their rural homes and poured into the cities in search of better employment or education. I just told this. But the thing is that most, of course, stayed in the urban areas where they married and founded a family. And as a result, from the 1960s onward, higher crude birth rates were recorded in urban prefectures, thus adding to population increases by migration there. Conversely, many of those prefectures, which already suffered most heavily from migration losses, also show the lowest natural increase rates. And you see that now in the period from 25 to 2010, it has turned into a death surplus. And that was, of course, due to their lack of people of a reproductive age. And that means that these Age-selective effects of population migration were more important with regard to regional differences in natural increase rates than age-standardized fertility or mortality levels, because in both periods, of course, the TFR was higher in rural areas. But nevertheless, when it comes to crude birth rates, you see that because of this migration surplus, higher rates were recorded in the metropolitan areas, and of course at the start of this period in some northern prefectures, but that was only temporary. The only exception is the island prefecture of Okinawa, where both total fertility rates and female life expectancy are far above the national average, leading to, as you can see there, the second map, okay, probably it's just this yellow color, leading to birth surpluses in spite of slight migration losses. And in the end, all this led to very strong regional contrasts in the age structure. Due to the massive outmigration of young people starting from the era of rapid economic growth, demographic aging in Japan is much more prevalent in the rural areas. These are the darker blue colors. In 2010, the rural northeastern prefecture of Akita, I don't know where it is, this prefecture here. This prefecture recorded a proportion of almost 30% of the population being 65 years or older, while in suburban Kanagawa prefecture, part of the Tokyo conurbation, no more than 20% fell into this category. Well, recently, now coming to some more recent phenomena, recently it has been pointed out that in many rural areas, demographic and socioeconomic decline has now passed a threshold after which the collapse of local communities can no longer be avoided. And there are reports that since the 1990s, the number of so-called genkai shuraku, or marginal settlements, has increased drastically. And these genkai shuraku are settlements which are thought to be on the verge of desertion due to the share of elderly people exceeding 50%. Figures vary somewhat depending on survey methods, but it is safe to assume that by the start of the present decade, 12 to 15% of all Japanese settlements or hamlets, you might call, belonged in this category. And it is the following factors that frequently have been made responsible for having contributed to this change from bad to worse. First, starting during the bubble economy period in the late 1980s, deindustrialization, or what they call it, the hollowing out, kudoka, of manufacturing activities, triggered a fundamental change in economic structure all over Japan. Many Japanese firms either shifted their production to overseas location or were battered by competition from the newly industrializing countries of East and Southeast Asia. While in major metropolises such as Tokyo or Osaka, job losses in manufacturing were compensated for by new jobs in the service sector, almost no such compensation was effected in rural areas, resulting in high net job losses. On the one hand, these losses reinforced, second, out-migration of young workers to metropolitan areas, which in turn induced the spreading of population shrinkage over an ever-increasing part of the Japanese territory. On the other hand, declines in the number of jobs and persons of employable age meant, third, a decline in the number of consumers and taxpayers, and thus increasing fiscal difficulties even of larger rural municipalities, which therefore had to drastically reduce the range of services offered to the citizens in order to avoid bankruptcy. And you maybe know that there are, it's a famous example, the town of Yubari in Hokkaido, which actually went bankrupt and now under central government control. Fourth, the central government, instead of mitigating these problems, even added fuel to the flames by cutting direct public investment in local infrastructures and implementing the so-called Trinity reforms, or in Japanese, Samitai Kaikaku, in 23, which had the effect of reducing the scope of fiscal equalization transfers from the government, central government, or from rich administrative units to poor regional administrative units. Finally, and fifth, the government completely reversed its basic thoughts on regional policy by refocusing on the revitalization or renaissance of core city areas, that was the Toshisaisei strategy, instead of promoting economic development in peripheral regions. And I will come back to these political turns of events at the end of this presentation. First, I will skip three other slides, because this is about projection, and projection often turn out to be incorrect, so I skip this anyway. Come to the second part of my analysis, and it has appeared in the maps. I've shown it before that for the Tokyo metropolitan area, or TMA, I will call them now, and in contrast to almost all other regions of Japan, population aging and shrinkage are not yet considered major problems. In the remainder of this presentation, however, I will show in greater detail that demographic decline is already occurring in a large number of areas in the TMA as well. It is further argued that contemporary urban politics are an important factor behind the emergence of extreme population aging and decline amidst ongoing urban growth. First, in order to examine the location and characteristics of areas affected by aging or population decline at the intermunicipal level, I applied the statistical procedure of cluster analysis to all municipalities in the southern Kanto region, and southern Kanto region is comprising the prefectures of Saitama, Chiba, Tokyo, and Kanagawa, which is roughly equivalent to the TMA. And what it means is that areal units, in this case the municipalities, including the 23 special wards of Tokyo, are classified into internally homogeneous groups or clusters according to selected structural variables. And these variables are the following. You see that the variable, the indicators from 1 to 3 are demographic indicators. It's population change, age structure, and the third is the proportion of family households with minor children. But I also included some social and economic indicators such as employment change or the unemployment rate or the financial scope to allow assumptions to be made on development potentials in the respective clusters. And the results now are shown on this table. It's pretty, it might be hard to see, but I think actually what you can see here is that eventually seven clusters were created by this procedure, for 1 to 7. And the most interesting clusters with regard to demographic decline are the clusters 5 to 7, and I will introduce to you now. I think the rest is, I think it's hard to see, so I will refrain from explaining it in more detail. Well, coming to the first yellow column to cluster 5, this is the distribution pattern of the municipalities who are classified into this cluster 5. Just for your orientation, so what we see here, this is Southern Kanto, and this part is Tokyo proper, so to speak. These are the 23 special wards of Tokyo. This is Tokyo Bay. You see Boso Peninsula and the Pacific and Sagami Bay, and here's the Saitama Prefecture, Kanagawa Prefecture, and the Tama region of Tokyo Prefecture. And what is characteristic of this cluster is a quite unstable demographic situation. You see, this is a concentration at the fringes of the Tokyo commuter belt. The northern part of Saitama Prefecture in particular is included here, comprising cities such as Kumagaya or Fukaya, along the border to Gunma Prefecture. A high proportion of households with minors on the one hand, and a comparatively old age structure expected for the future on the other, suggests that these areas had recorded large migration surpluses of young families until very recently, but then ceased to do so. Instead, there are now, in some parts of this area, many vacant lots and abandoned houses, perforating the build-up area, which indicates that urban development has been abruptly terminated. Projections assume that the shrinkage of population will speed up in the future here. These municipalities used to be popular new residential areas during the era of soaring land prices until the early 1990s. It was only there that middle-class families could still realize their dream of becoming owner-occupiers of detached houses. Today, in view of markedly reduced land prices in more central locations, neighborhoods in these areas, especially when they are more than 1 kilometer away from next railway station, suffer from a shortage of new residents and an outflow of young adults leaving the area, suggesting that aging will soon become a manifest problem here. Next is cluster 6, and this shows multiple distribution pattern. It is characterized mainly by areas of high unemployment and rather low proportions of workers in high-skill occupations. To this group belong municipalities such as the industrial city of Satte, there in the north of Saitama Prefecture, or the cities of Kisarazu and Soregaura in Chiba Prefecture, which are part of the industrial belt surrounding Tokyo Bay. These areas are already highly affected by aging and will have lost more than 10% of their present population size by 2030. Most municipalities suffered from employment losses in the manufacturing sector during the economic crisis of the 1990s. As a consequence, younger workers left these areas, leaving behind elderly and unskilled workers. It should be emphasized that even the northeastern sector of Tokyo proper is included in this cluster. This is represented by the wards of Arakawa, Kita, Adachi, and Katsushika. And cluster 7, finally, reflects the situation in the outermost parts of southern Kanto, such as the southern half of Boso Peninsula or the mountainous areas around Chichibu City in western Saitama Prefecture. Here, aging and shrinking assume alarming proportions, and tax revenues are the lowest. And obviously, these communities are not part of the TMA in functional terms, but have much more in common with depopulated rural areas of the Japanese periphery. Well, except for these remote areas, the classification results have revealed that in the TMA, areas most affected by demographic decline or the prospect of it are first municipalities that are located at the outer margin of the suburban belt and have become unpopular for residents commuting to the city center of Tokyo, because now these people can find accommodation or in central Tokyo much easier than before. And second, communities that have recently or since the 1990s suffered heavy losses of jobs in the manufacturing sector. This finding corresponds well with the argument that there are growing disparities between hotspot and coldspot areas in Tokyo. This is an argument that has been put forward by the well-known urban housing researcher Hirayama Yosuke. And as coldspots, he too, in his books, identifies the partly deindustrialized blue-collar districts of northeastern Tokyo, as well as suburban areas farther away from major commuter traffic routes, both of which have become deeply unattractive for real estate developers to invest in. While hotspot areas are located in the city center and along the waterfront, where new stylish high-rise building clusters, including expensive condominiums for the upper middle class, herald huge profits for the construction industry and other businesses. Apparently, demographic shrinkage and aging at the level of whole municipalities in a TMA is largely the outcome of economic decline amidst growth, be it collapsed real estate markets or deindustrialization. Well, at the neighborhood level in Tokyo proper, population decline is, of course, often the result of residential use being replaced by commercial functions, and therefore a sign of economic vitality rather than decline. And for this reason, only demographic aging is considered in the following. In the following map here, the locations of the 50 most elderly, most aged neighborhoods, or Choto in Japanese, out of almost 4,000 statistical neighborhoods in Tokyo proper, are indicated by dots. The map also reveals that there are some special cases, and these are indicated in the map by green dots. You can see here the day laborer district of Sanya in the northeastern part of Taito Ward, and these are mostly neighborhoods who are dominated by very large homes for the elderly. These are, of course, special cases. But apart from these cases, highly aged neighborhoods can be classified into one of two types. The first type includes inner area districts. These are the blue dots, often adjacent to noisy railway lines and built up with many old wooden houses inhabited by elderly owner-occupiers. And since all these areas are centrally located, it might be only a matter of time till urban redevelopment will solve the problem. That means will bring young people back or wipe out residential use altogether. So here these are the blue, maybe there in the back you cannot see this. These are the blue ones, the inner area, the elderly aged inner area district here around the Yamanote railway line, especially concentrated here in Kanda, Akihabara, and Ueno. More numerous and presumably more permanent, on the other hand, are neighborhoods dominated by public rental housing estates, and these are the red dots. And the interesting thing is that nine of these districts, of these red districts, are also in the top 50 list of neighborhoods marked by high unemployment. And I indicated these nine districts by these yellow arrows. And this fact is in line with the message of several recent Japanese publications, both scientific publications and some kind of articles in weekly magazines even, that they are arguing that many rental housing estates, once regarded as symbolic places of post-war social equality, have turned into social problem areas, which I will now consider in some more detail. Well, when analyzing temporal changes in poverty and aging of Tokyo residents by tenure of dwelling, it becomes apparent that the current extent of the problems found in public rental housing districts is indeed a rather new phenomenon. Poverty, as defined by the share of households belonging to the lowest income quintile, has always been substantial among local government housing residents. But the additional increase from 42% in 1993 to 59% in 2008 is nonetheless remarkable. During the same time, by contrast, income poverty declined in the private rental sector with its mass of tiny, low-quality apartments. You might remember that in the 80s there was some reports by the European community of the so-called rabbit hutches, and that was mostly these tiny private rental apartments, that here the proportion of those low-income earners declined from 36% to 26%, and that was probably due to the new construction of pricey rental flats in the city center. On the other hand, poverty levels didn't change much and are still below the prefectural average in public corporation rental housing estates aimed at middle-class families. This is called the UR, or Urban Renaissance Agency, and Japan is now handling these dwellings. And population aging, which is more important now for this topic, population aging, on the other hand, is proceeding fast in both types of public housing. During the span, you see, from only 15 years, from 1995 to 2010, the proportion of elderly residents doubled in both types. Here, local government rental housing from 18.6% to 38.9%, and in the public corporation rental housing from 10% to 22%, while with regard to the other tenures of dwelling, such as owner-occupied housing, there's only a slight increase from 20 to 25%, although you can expect that, of course, you still need some money to be able to buy a home, that that owner-occupied housing owner-occupiers should be the most aged people. That was there, I think, in the past. You can see that was the case, but it is actually no more. And the Kirigaoka local government housing estate, I don't know if somebody of you has been there, it's in Kita Ward, in the north of Tokyo, is a typical case of a large estate area that shows all the problems mentioned so far. In 2010, about 7,200 people lived in this neighborhood that was constructed piecemeal between 1957 and 1975. And although parts of the estate area are quite appealing, with many trees and large park areas, housing standards and the outer appearance are rather not so good, let's say. Since two-thirds of the original dwellings had not been equipped with bathrooms, let alone devices for physically disabled people, some housing units were torn down and rebuilt, while others were renovated recently, but that was just only physical upgrading. There was no change in the residential structure. Unemployment is high. It's about 16% unemployed in 2010, is even by Japanese standards extremely high, compared to 5.8% in the whole Tokyo ward area. Although there are other estate areas with even higher rates. And due to the large decrease in the number of children, with just under 6% or so were below 15 years of age, no less than 3 elementary schools were closed down during the last 5 years or so. This is one example. You see the Heiko Shimashita. This school is closed. Maybe it will be reopened in the future. Nobody exactly knows. Demographic aging here as well is proceeding fast. While in 1995, 26.7% of all residents were elderly, this figure rose sharply to over 50% in 2010, thus meeting the criteria of a genkai shuraku, a term that originally had only been in use for rural hamlets, as I have mentioned before, and now there is the new phrase of the genkai danchi. That's because danchi is the name for estate. This high proportion of elderly people, you may ask, well, what's the problem with a large share of elderly people? But the problem is that more and more of these elderly people are living alone. And in Kirigaoka, the share of one-person households among all households with elderly members rose from 37% in 1995 to 46% in 2010. And one result of this has been an increase in cases of solitary deaths reported. That is, deaths which are discovered only after some time has passed. And furthermore, estate areas inhabited by single elderly people have become a prime target area for dubious door-to-door sales people. And finally, elderly people tend to not leaving their dwelling except when absolutely necessary, and that's making many estate areas look quite uninhabited. Well, this is the main shopping district of Kirigaoka, an almost deserted rectangular courtyard. It's conveying a surreal atmosphere, and this is still the center of Tokyo in a way. It's not exactly inside the Yamanote loop ring, but it's still in Kita Ward. And the crazy thing is that not only that about half of the shops appear to have been shut down, but others are offering products such as toys, which seems totally out of place here for me, given a low percentage of resident children. And even there are some rusty toys which are a bit older, which reminds us of the Showa period, when things were much better than now. Without doubt, the bleak situation in the estates is not least the result of growing socioeconomic inequality and rising shares of the elderly due to demographic change seen all over Japan. But an even more significant factor is a recent paradigm shift in housing policies put into effect by several amendments of the local government housing law. Well, in quantitative terms, the scope of public rental housing as a housing provider has always been rather limited in Japan. And highly subsidized local government rental housing was originally meant for young middle-class-to-be families who stood on the bottom rung of the so-called housing career ladder. Because due to Japan's seniority wage system, they had not yet secured enough financial resources to buy their own home. So it was supposed to be, okay, first these local government housing, then a more spacious housing in the private sector, or maybe in the public corporation housing, and after some period, after 20 years of employment, finally the detached housing in the suburbs. But this system no longer works properly, and the role assigned to the estates has changed completely. Proceeding on the idea that in principle housing provision as well as building loan agreements should be left to the private sector, local government housing is now defined as a safety net for those who are too weak economically or socially to find adequate housing on the market. And to guarantee that only the neediest get dwelling, access to local government housing has become more and more restricted. In order to gain admission, one has to at least fall below a certain income threshold. Until 1996, one had to belong to the lowest third of income earners. Since then, it's the lowest quarter. But this is not obviously not enough, because a lot of Japanese who fall into this category. Successful applicants are then determined by drawing lots. And on average, only one applicant in 30 draws a winning number in Tokyo. And this is because Tokyo Prefecture, in view of drastically reduced government subsidies made effective from 23, refuses to increase the stock. The chances of being selected rise, however, when one is officially acknowledged as heading a household for which the market is unable to deliver decent housing, as they say. And such categorization of the needy started with households of elderly people in 1980 and subsequently has been extended to households with physically or mentally disabled members, single mother households, victims of violence or natural disasters, and people receiving welfare benefits. And such households may draw 5 to 7 lots at a time, and income qualifications are more relaxed. But since other needy groups, such as younger working poor households, are not included, as long as they are not among the lucky few who succeed in receiving welfare benefits in Japan, it has been criticized that the decision of whom to grant preferential access is less grounded on objective measurement of neediness, but more on arbitrary political agreement on who deserves to be supported. Mm-hmm. And it is probably no coincidence that elderly people, and as you know, many of them loyal voters for the LDP, were the first group to receive such preferential treatment. Well, is there a theoretical framework that can be used to put all these various manifestations of demographic decline amidst growth, both at the prefectural, the municipal, and the neighborhood level, into a larger context? Well, since Tokyo is usually referred to as a first-grade global city, along with London, New York, or other large Asian metropolises such as Shanghai or Singapore, global city theory, as elaborated by Saskia Sassen in her famous book on the global city in 1991, might hold the key for understanding why the demographic structure of adjacent urban areas develops in completely opposite directions. The theory, inter alia, holds that new jobs in global cities are mainly created at the higher or lower end of the service sector, while typical lower middle class employment in clerical or production occupations is being reduced. And in its turn, this is supposed to lead to a growing gap between the city center, where the new young service class elite tends to concentrate in gentrified districts, and the rest of the urban agglomeration, blue-collar areas in particular. And up to a certain extent, such a trend can indeed also be observed in Tokyo, at least since, well, I think the year 2000 or so. Since the dynamism of global cities is more strongly related to the global than the national economy, This theory might also be used to answer the question of why the TMA as a whole continues to attract population while other parts of Japan, peripheral areas in particular, at best stagnate. However, global city theory doesn't pay much attention to the role of politics, nor does it take the mechanisms of the housing market into account. So to overcome this lack, a somewhat different theoretical approach is needed, in my opinion. It's my hypothesis that so-called entrepreneurial city politics, or entrepreneurial urban politics, as defined by the Marxist geographer David Harvey in 1989, do heavily contribute to not only to current socio-spatial restructuring in Japanese urban metropolises, but also to the acceleration of decline in rural areas. Entrepreneurialism functions as a sort of transmission belt between neoliberalist ideology and concrete urban planning measures. It means a shift away from the long-standing managerial role of local governments to provide services, facilities, and benefits to its urban citizens, and towards an economic growth strategy which focuses on the attraction of external sources of funding, new direct investment, or new employment sources, as Harvey puts it. Deindustrialization, fiscal constraints, as well as a supposed threat of being surpassed by other cities in the race for new employment bases, form the background of this paradigm shift in urban politics. The upgrading of the city image to draw in capital or wealthy residents mainly rests on practicable and prestigious small-scale redevelopment projects, which are often designed by internationally renowned architects rather than tedious improvement schemes targeting whole city districts. The lack of resources to realize economic restructuring on their own account usually induces city administrations to form public-private partnerships with the private sector, the latter being rewarded through incentives such as the abolition or weakening of city planning standards, tax exemptions, or the bargain sale of public space, including public housing. In Japan now, urban politics have eventually turned in the same direction. Already in the late 1980s, a sustained period of half-hearted efforts at regional decentralization virtually ended. Instead, Japanese urban and regional politics became more and more refocused on Tokyo to support the city in its competition race with other global cities, proceeding on the assumption that a strong Tokyo would eventually invigorate the whole Japanese economy. It has already been indicated that this strategy has had the predictable side effect of accelerating demographic and economic decline in many rural areas. In the Tokyo renewal areas, meanwhile, these state-promoted activities centered on the location of service sector industries combined with housing and facilities for the better off. But in this phase, the less privileged were not yet forgotten. Thus, all major city center renewal projects of the 1990s, be it the Ebisu project in Tokyo or the waterfront project Kawabata 21, I think, these projects still included some public housing blocks for the lower and lower middle classes. But following Koizumi Junichiro's election as Japanese Prime Minister in 2001, things became more and more market-driven. Based on the National Urban Revitalization Law of 2002, city planning rules such as upper floor space limits were partly suspended in specially designated areas of major city centers, while the financing as well as the central handling of urban restructuring projects was left to large private consortia. The result was an even faster pace of new construction of isolated high-rise building clusters in the city center at the relative expense of more peripheral locations where real estate markets remained sluggish. Obviously, it's these changes in the conception of what urban politics should be concerned with that also provide the backdrop for the aforementioned retreat of the state from an active role in most housing policy fields and a growing residualism in the provision of affordable housing. Well, in conclusion, I would like to highlight the following results. First, on the prefectural level, aging and population decline assume the highest proportions in rural areas. This fact can basically be regarded as the outcome of huge rural-urban migration flows during the years of high-speed economic growth and is therefore nothing new. But demographic decline in rural regions has significantly worsened since the 1990s. Second, on a municipal level in the Tokyo metropolitan area, towns at the fringes of the commuter belt and towns suffering from deindustrialization are the areas most affected by population aging and decline. And these districts are the economic cold spots in an otherwise flourishing urban agglomeration. Third, on the level of Tokyo neighborhoods, aging rates are especially high in areas dominated by local government housing estates, many of which have also become pockets of poverty. Fourth, a neoliberal turn in many policy fields is a key factor in generating or at least aggravating these regional differences in demographic aging and population decline. And this was first by adopting the so-called Trinity reforms and the urban revitalization strategy in the early 2000s, when the central Japanese government cut direct public investment and other subsidy flows to rural administrative bodies and shifted its regional policy focus towards redevelopment of urban areas. And second, state-supervised private urban mega-projects meant to keep or improve the international position of Tokyo and other large cities were exclusively located in the city centers where profit returns are highest, leading to a relative status loss and even disregard of metropolitan fringe areas. And last, social housing has become more and more restricted and residualized, focusing now on the very poor, the handicapped, and first and foremost, the elderly. This strategy as well can be put in the entrepreneurial context of local governments, reducing the scope of their managerial function as service providers in favor of stimulating economic growth. Thank you very much.